What we'll do to start is we'll let each of you introduce yourselves, your name, your full name, when you were born, and where you were born. And so then we'll have that bio information at the beginning of the tape, and then we'll start talking.
I'm Garnet Hale, G-A-R-N-E-T-T, H-A-L-E. And I was born in Mutual, south of Mutual, on July the 16th, 1913.
Okay.
What else am I supposed to say?
You don't have to say anything else right now.
You already know how old I am. I'm 82. I'm 88. I'll be 88 in a little while.
I'm Fay Moore, and I was born east of Camargo on the Duncan Place on a Sunday morning, October the 24th, 1915. And my maiden name was Ralston.
Ralston?
Mm-hmm. R-A-L-S-T-O-N.
Okay.
And my maiden name is White.
Okay.
And I am Olive Ray. Just R-A-Y. Sail thinking, how do you spell that? It's just R-A-Y. And I was born April 18th, 1916, south 4 miles south of Isai.
Your maiden name
was Stuart.
Stuart.
Mm-hmm. Maiden name was Stuart.
Okay.
I'm Luella Colson, and I was born, my birth date is 1/1/1/1. I was born January the 1st, 1911.
Wow.
And I was Luella Caffey in the first place before I married Floyd Colson.
Everybody, welcome to your.
Yeah.
I'm with you. See what you people did during the storm.
She lived in Liberal, Kansas during the storm, so she might
was it bad up there?
Was it whenever it gets dark, the chickens have got roost.
Well, that's what they did here.
They didn't and hear that too. One evening it was so bad. I forgot the kicked the rocks up, and my husband was going out to milk, and it hit him in the face as bad that the cows went on milk that evening. And it was so bad that the dirt would pile up around the fence post. Mm-hmm. You know, get turfs calling the fence post. Yeah, I lived through it.
And what is your name?
Oh, Cunningham.
Fay.
F-A-Y-E.
Cunningham. Your birthday. When you was born, where you was
December
born.
December the 3rd. I was born up near Hugoton, Kansas.
In 19 what?
You give her your birthday, when you was born and where.
Oh, 1911,
and I'll soon be, no. Not that much. You're not that much older than me.
I'm 98, 97.
What am I?
I don't know.
You're born in 1911? Was you born in
1911? I think so.
If you're born in 11, you're 90.
That's what I am.
No, I'm not 90 yet. I will be my next birthday.
80.
She's
80
my last birthday.
Yeah, she will be this year.
She was
born in probably.
I'll be
88. I knew she was. Well, you know, when the dirt gets bad, the hospitals have
to. Isla Gregory be 88 tomorrow. Isla Gregory be 88 tomorrow.
Well,
30th.
But would you say that you all lived in a rural area, or did you live in a town?
Rural. During the Dust Bowl, I lived both.
Okay.
I was married in 1934, and then I moved to out on the farm in 36 and lived out there a year, and then moved to Enid. So I lived both, and in Enid it wasn't too bad, but I lived that the year that I lived out on the farm.
Horrible. Well, maybe each of you could sort of take turns maybe telling us what a typical day was like. It didn't have to be necessarily a dust storm day, just like in the early 30s. What was a typical day like? What did you do when you got up?
Milk the cows.
I was married in 1930. And my oldest girl was born in 1932. And it was so dusty, and I'd put her to sleep, you know, most of the time, about every day. I'd have to put her on the bed, and I'd put pillows up, you know, and put a sheet over the top of that to keep the dust off of her.
That must have been hard, having little kids
and,
during
that. And then, too, you wash their diapers and put it out on the line, and oh, they were awful.
And get ready.
I couldn't tell you'd washed them. Couldn't tell you'd washed them.
I know. Hardly. It.
What about for you guys? What was a typical day like?
Just, you knew it was going to blow before the day was over, almost. Yeah, and it just, as I said, it closed some roads. I remember in 36.
Oh, yeah, the fence.
Yeah, anywhere there was a wheat field close to a road, especially on the south side of the road, it would close that road out here in the country.
Well, it does every morning we get up. It might be nice.
Yeah.
Just in a little while, they call it the Northern Roller. There was a roller coming in.
And you can see them. You can see them coming.
But the worst one was on a Sunday evening.
That's what I was going to tell. Now, that was Black Sunday. That was Black Sunday.
Yeah. Black
wizard. I crawled that evening. I went with my sister-in-law. She said, I must gather my eggs. We saw it coming. Well, it got there when we was in the chicken house. So the men had gone taking the children and went into the house. And we'd holler at them, and they'd holler at them, and we crawled to the house, but we was following their voice to get to the house because we could not see anything.
That was on April the 14th in 35.
In 35, that was, yeah.
And we stood out by the cistern just north of the house and watched it coming in. And then when it got pretty close, we went in the house to light the coal oil lamps.
That's what we
but
did.
You couldn't see the light.
Yeah.
It was just so dark.
Dark.
And the chickens went to roost. And it was just awful. And I had a baby in 32, like she said, that you'd have to put stuff over the crib to try to keep the dust off of them. And my neighbor, they lost a baby with dust pneumonia at that time, at that same storm. It was terrible.
I went to Liberal, Kansas to visit my father-in-law. He lived in a little two-bedroomed house, and that was the first night I was there. It'd stay all night. And at 4 o'clock, it was so dark at 4, he lit the lamp, coal oil lamp, and sat there and read the Bible. And I didn't know what to think about it for a while, and it was so dark. And Leo had went to take a tractor out in the country for some company. And anyhow, the wind went to blow them. But there now, the fire, it's just like a fire, a light. Just go by the windows like this. It was much electric, whatever it was. And the wind went to blowing. Now, and it was dust. And I said, oh, Dad Hale, of a roof went off that house across there. He said it did. Well, he said, you get the baby and crawl under the bed if you want to. And that's what I done. But I didn't right then. But then I'd seen the other, and there's a big brick home just on the west side of it. I said, they blowed that house all to pieces, Dad Hale, I said. And, oh, I worried about Leo, you know, then. But then it got lighter. The wind quit blowing, got a little light, you know, so we could see. And we had forks, we had mattresses and everything in our yard. And all it done, it just broke a little bit of plastering off right in the corner. And our little old house stood. And after a while, he got just so far out of the town that out of town with his tractor on his truck, and it was so bad it killed the cars, you know. And he had to walk back to town. I looked up, and there he came with his hand in his pocket, and I was bawling. I didn't know where he was and everything. And he said, well, I knew you was all right, but we just had everything under the sun in our yard, from forks to bedclothes and everything. And he killed a lady that was on the west side of us in that big home. And that was dusty. Oh, it was bad at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You couldn't see nothing.
It blew the brick home down.
Yeah, big brick home on the west side of this new house. It killed her. And one on the south of us, it took the top off of it. That was my first
storm.
Experience there up there. That was Liberal, Kansas. They had a tornado. That's what they had. That ended up, that's what they called it.
Yeah.
But it was dark at 4 o'clock.
It was the good old days, but I don't want to live them over.
Well, we moved to the farm in 35, and we didn't buy any chickens, but they farmed. They put out a crop. I put out a big garden. We didn't raise anything.
We didn't
raise everything, and they just everything. But before we moved to Enid, we went out to took a trip. We went through Fort Supply and out through the Panhandle and went then south to Canadian. And there was nothing but fence posts and bare ground. There was no blade of grass, nothing but cow chips.
Yeah.
That was all was in my land. As far as you could see, there was not a blade of grass left after a year or so, you know, the blowing and terrible.
Well, it wasn't too long after that, was it, that we had the Depression?
Yeah, it was during the Depression.
And oh, we had a beautiful garden. We just had had everything. It was so nice. And the grasshoppers moved.
Yes, they did.
We were talking about the grasshoppers. What were you growing in your garden?
Oh, we had everything we could grow. We had a beautiful garden. And them grasshoppers moved in. And where we lived was out here on Jim Polson's house. Out there, and there's a lot of trees. Mm-hmm. And them grasshoppers just moved in there, and they ate all the leaves, they ate all of our garden, they ate all the leaves off the tree. And you'd look at a fence post, you couldn't tell it was fence post on account of them.
How many grasshoppers?
Great big old grasshoppers, just big.
And you know this is what year?
That's when, well, let's see, that's when Vestal was baby, and that's when we went to California then.
Well, what year, was it?
Well, he was born in 36.
Yeah, 36 was a bad year. That was a hot year, and it was a bad year. And it was that's the year that we was at the farm.
Yes,
and
you remember
Ludina.
That?
Yes, I do.
Because we didn't
have a garden. Was all
gone. They didn't have nothing left.
Yeah, we just didn't have nothing. So we
ate everything.
We had.
So you guys moved to Enid when it got bad. Yeah. You moved to California.
Then we went to California.
Yes, that was a lot of people.
How long did you stay in California?
Well, we was there about 3 years, I guess, and built a couple of houses, and that was during the Depression, you know, and then there wasn't all people was living behind signs and under the bridges. And I had a brother there and a sister there, and we'd stay with them 1 week. Leo got a job the next day after we got there. Everybody just like that and said, "Well, we've been here so long and we haven't got no job." And he went down, put in for a job, and got a carpenter job. He didn't do no carpenter, but he got a carpenter job, and he come home, went and got him some stuff, and made him a carpenter box, you know, and got bought carpenter tools he had to have, and went to work. Well, then we bought two lots. No, not for them. Leo said there's no place you could rent. And he said if I had one of these big trucks, you know, big long backs on like a big truck, he'd make a trailer house if he had a place to set it. And then my brother Ralph said, "Well, you can set it right there under that tree right there if you want to." So he bought one, and we got this real thick ply board, you know, and made that all new. And we got some furniture, moved in there. And then we bought a couple of lots then. And then we built a house, but I never got to live in it because we rented it right straight. And then we built another one. And when we left there, we sold it. And Leo said, "Let's go back to Oklahoma. So that's the easiest place to make a living."
So he was that's working in California, but still decided to come back.
Yes.
Yeah. We lived up on a hill all this time through the dust storm and everything. Mm-hmm. We were married in 27. We had two little boys, and this little girl was born in 32. And she was one we had to share watch about the dust bowl, dust coming in, you know, had to cover a cradle and everything.
Oh, yeah, had to cover everything.
But we put her through it without pneumonia, and I don't know how. But it was during the Depression, too. When I had this little baby, the mama was supposed to stay in bed about 10 days. Well, the babies were born back then. So we hired a lady to work for us, and we had to pay her $2 a week. So when it come time for her to leave, we didn't have the $2, so we had to sell a pig. Raise money to pay the hired girl. I sure wouldn't want to live in those old days again.
No, I wouldn't either.
But those were the good old days.
Yeah.
Oh, they were good. Well, there's good days, you think back. Too. I mean, good times.
Yeah. Everybody was in the same boat.
Everybody's
hard. And we didn't have
everybody's
any better sense
hard
than that. We played croquet the nights. It wasn't too bad. They had a croquet bounce off of the Methodist church here in town. We'd come in there. If it wasn't too bad, we'd come in and play croquet every night with the people in town and around.
Well, I And my youngest girl, we lived out here on a little place out southeast here. And everybody was hard up, you know. It seemed like everybody was. And she was getting big enough that she needed shoes, you know, as she started to stand up. And I told Leo, I said, well, we're going to have to get Rosalie some shoes. Said, you know, we didn't have nothing. Or a little dab of cream and eggs, you know, sell. And, well, he said, we'll see what we can do about it. And he went off up in the pasture and took Geraldine Vestal, just little. Took him. I didn't know where he was going. He'd come back and he had four big old skunks. They're the prettiest things. He'd kill them. He knew where there's a skunk bed, or whatever you call them.
Yeah.
And he dug them out and killed them. And they, at that time, they was a pretty good price. They'd take, you know, they'd clean them and put them on a board and stretch them, you know. Mm-hmm. And them was the prettiest things. And he got them all fixed, and we come up to town and he sold them and got her a pretty pair of white shoes buttoned up beside. But everybody, yes, there was lots of people that we'd go on the if you had a blowout and ruined a tire, you went on the rim. Now that's the way it was.
But you didn't have a car.
No, when we, that's when we got, we had a car after we got married. Not, no, we went.
Well, on, we did too. Yeah. Floyd had a car when we got married.
But everybody was the same. We'd come up town, come up the hill here to Visay, you know, and had, it used to be a big hill out there.
Yeah, they'd think if you could make that on high, you should get
it. He wasn't the only one that's going on a rim. I had a flat.
What was it? What was going on with you and your family?
Well, it, just about the same, but I can't think what year it was. We raised turkeys, and when we sold those turkeys, we bought us a new pickup, and we paid for it with what those turkeys brought.
Do you remember how much you paid for it?
I don't know. It seems to me like it was $2,400,
$2,500. Something like that. That's
how
they were.
Yeah, we raised we lived up on a creek, so it was a good place to raise turkeys, and we had our milk cows, and we had pigs. And but before we moved up there, why, we were living just a little ways west of the where the Camargo Cemetery is on the north side of the road. We were living there. And then we moved back up in the creek. And, but I know when our youngest boy was born, we was at my folks, and they was down on this. And we had a baby bed, and we always had to keep a sheet stretched over there, completely over to keep the dust off of them.
I keep wet gunny sacks over the windows.
Yes.
I keep the dust from coming in. I had made some real heavy quilts out of wool pieces when right after I was married. That's what we have over those west windows in our house and the door too, the west door, because that's where it came in. It seemed like
most right from of the west. Yeah.
Most of the come
southwest.
In from the north,
northwest.
Yeah, north. And we have never did take them off. Made the house awfully dark, but that when we moved to the farm. We didn't notice it so bad here in town, but we did out there because it was sand the ground. It just really did look bad. But then you'd move them quilts away from the windows, and then so they'd just be full of dirt, dust,
sand, and dirt.
Yeah, I didn't have children then.
Did any of you that had children, did you ever have to comfort your children in any way? Were they ever scared of the dust? It's dark in the house and the wind's blowing.
I didn't have children.
Well, our houses weren't very lit up anyhow. Yeah. When we would light the
kerosene
lamps, there wasn't much light. Yeah. And really, mine wasn't big enough. As long as Mom and Daddy was around, or Grandpa and Grandma, they were content.
Yeah,
but it was bad.
That's about all we had was this lamps, coal on lamps.
Yes,
nobody had electricity. Yeah.
I know Bill was talking here in this where he went to get the cows and whatever it was that was growing. He said that there was this electricity that went right down the
right
top
along.
Of that.
Yeah,
and then I killed it. It never did get any.
That's way it done.
It's any bigger
lights? That's what did it.
We decided in August that year, 1936, to move to Enid and see if we could get a job. And it was 118 degrees that day on the thermometer when we got out there. But when we moved, when we got moved to the house that we had rented, and I don't know. We didn't have any air conditioning in our car. We didn't have air conditioning in our house or anything. I don't know how we survived that heat that year, but it was a hot summer.
How did you end up back here from Enid?
Enid, we moved back and took over. We moved back to the to town, here in town. Took over the Magnolia business, Magnolia oil business. My husband was sold wholesale, and his dad run the station, and then after his dad went back in the store, his dad was the store operator. He got
grocery store
here, and he had traded it for this farm. That's the reason we moved out there. He traded for that farm that year, and he traded his stock out of his store for that farm, and Eldred and I moved out there. No, it was a terrible sign. And we did good after we moved back to town. We bought a house, and we run that Magnolia wholesale here for 13 years after we moved back in 37. That's when Stuart, my first child, was born.
I remember, too, when the government offered to buy all the cows that we would sell them for $3 a head.
Yeah.
Now, that was awful.
And we can meat. We can meat. I'm a dad too.
We raised a lot, you know, and I can a lot. I had everything. About all we had to buy was sugar, you know, and coffee and salt, stuff like that. But I canned everything, and we canned our meat, our beef.
It tells here that a big fat hen would bring a dollar.
Yeah. That's about right.
Yes, we lived during that too. When we moved in, we had a lot of that canned beef yet.
You said that they were buying the cattle for $3 a head. Do you remember anyone saying, this is ridiculous?
Yes,
it was.
Now, my husband and my dad both, was going to manage to take care of them.
Well, Dad had so many cattle that he butchered a lot of them, giving us to the those five of us children, and he divided that up, and we canned it. And we canned that.
You still can meat?
Do I still?
Yeah,
no.
Do you?
No, but sure was good.
But it was good meat. You cut it in chunks, and most of them was young beef.
We've got the freezers
beef,
now.
Freezer sausage, you know, and put them fried a little bit, you know, and put it in these big jars, you know, and put the lard on. We'd take a sausage out of there, you know.
That was good. That beef you cut in, and then we'd take it out of there and roll it in flour and fry it, and that was good. Canned beef.
You guys can't imagine that, can you?
No.
Well, the first time that someone told me that they used to can meat, I had to ask, how do you do that? I don't even know how you do that. When his dad gave us those young calves,
we just cut it in chunks and pressured it.
And boy, when you don't fry it up, it was delicious. You can make brown gravy. My kids just love it. They speak about it.
I got them big mouth jars, and I made the steak, you know, fried them, browned it a little, and I'd pack it in there. And then we cut up the other and cubed it up. And that was good to make, open up and make noodles, you know. Throw some potatoes in it, you know. Oh, it was good meat.
We didn't know any different than that he was raised on it.
What was your favorite food? Evidently, you like canned meat a lot. What was your favorite food?
I'm a vegetable and fruit person.
So I like my meat, though.
That's the reason I planted a big garden when I moved. Of course, I was raised on a farm. My husband wasn't, but he got learned to love it. And I loved it. I still raise my garden. I still can. No, I don't can vegetables much anymore. Only can some green beans for my daughter. But I did back then. I canned all the vegetables until we had until they got a locker here in town, you know, because we didn't have refrigerators to keep anything. Yeah, you do now. We freeze now.
Freezers taking over canning.
Canning, yes, mostly. All I ever can in vegetables is tomatoes and green beans.
Well, let's say it was a special event, like somebody's birthday or the 4th of July, or what would you have to eat that was different than you would have during a normal day?
Oh, here comes Bertha.
A birthday cake was about
We'd always have a birthday cake.
Homemade ice cream.
Homemade
ice cream. That would be what we'd have.
Chickens. Oh, yes, we always raised a lot of chickens.
I remember the first time we had wieners, you know.
Yeah.
We went in the wagon, went to Mutual's town, and I stopped and told a neighbor up the hill, I said, come down for supper. I said, Mother bought some weenies, and we're going to have kraut and weenies for supper. And then I remember when they first got peanut butter out, too.
Yeah.
I remember all of that. Wieners.
I hope you've had lunch. We're talking about food.
Yeah. Another little interesting thing about going to Enid. My husband got a job at the dairy, and he drove a one-horse cart and delivered dairy products. And that was something that he really enjoyed, but it was something we had there. They would come right to their door and brought you a dairy product.
You can stay right there. You got a story about Jell-O, was that right?
Well, I was just telling my kids.
You want your book?
I might have just been a backwoods and didn't know no better, but we didn't have Jell-O when I grew up.
Well, they didn't have Jell-O then.
No, I never did.
Didn't know what Jell-O was. A lot of stuff.
I can't remember the first I ever ate. But I know I was thrilled to death, and I got them from the freezer. Because we only had Jell-O in the winter, and you could send it in the north room. North room.
I remember when bananas
Jell-O. Hold on a second. We got what's your name?
Name.
Bertha Cole, and Verla is my neighbor and friend.
Oh, she's getting her.
And what's your name?
Verla Boyd.
1910. 1910, yeah. June the 23rd, 1910. And how about you? Everybody else tell us how old they are. Well, they are. Well, I've never been ashamed of them. Don't
have to just look at me. Me too. I'm
19. And my birthday's
January 11. Mm-hmm. Okay.
When's your birthday? New Year's Day.
1-1-1-1. She's 1-1-1-2.
And she's 110. I mean,
your birthday in January.
She was born in 1910.
Well, we'll our next question, I'll just direct it at the two of you that just came in. What's your fondest memory of this time of the 1920s, 1930s? Just prior to the Depression and Dust Bowl and then during. Just when you think back, what do you think? That was all right.
My fondest memories are just memories.
Is when it got over.
It was about your first baby, Verla. It was probably along about that time.
Well, he was born in 31, and the Depression was, the storms was 34.
Yeah, 34 and 35.
Well, I remember when they was talking on the radio, it's coming now. Everybody get ready. It's going to be here. And we hung some wet sheets over the one room where the baby was and things like that. And in a little while, it began to get dark. And the chickens all went to roost. And we lit the lamp. And here it rolled in, as dark as could be. And when I went to go back in the bedroom, my quilt was so covered with dust that I couldn't even tell what color it was. Mm-hmm.
I went to got my kids over by the cellar cave. I thought the world was coming to the end when they think black.
Well, that was Black Sunday,
Sunday afternoon. The cellar wouldn't have helped me, but I was scared to death. That was in, 35?
That was 35. Yeah.
The chickens, like she said, they all went running towards the chicken house. They thought it was like night. You know?
They thought it was night.
And,
yeah, 4 o'clock. It'd be just as dark.
Yes, it was. But I guess I went back in the house because I didn't go in the cave. But it was just me and two babies. I had two
kids. Well, that was a year we lost two babies with the dust storm.
Yes.
That's what was so frightening. So frightening, too. Because people were dying with them.
Right.
We lost a little niece in our family, probably 2 years old. Hugh and Audrey's, you all know. I went through the house swinging right now.
Huh?
Just swinging all around through the house trying to clear the air up there. That's one way I did it.
Another thing I remember, the draws and everything blowed full of Russian thistles. So when we got ready to go, my husband said, now we'll have to hang a chain on the back of the car or we'll probably catch them afire going through them if we don't do that. I remember him tying that chain on when I got ready to leave. So he said, it'll probably catch a fire to them thistles going through that draw down there.
It was terrible. We didn't know if it was ever going to end, did we?
No, we sure didn't.
Said or told or remember?
What did you tell, Faye?
How far was our little range in between? How far?
Oh, it was terribly dry in 36. I remember that.
Oh, yeah, that sounds depressing.
Yes, and I think the winter of 35 was one of the coldest winters. Oh, it was a terribly cold winter, and I know that all the water mains in this town froze. We were living in town then. And how we were out of water for...
I know we raised...
That's when they had to put all new mains in, because they just... could have been they weren't deep enough or something, but it was a terrible winter here in this town.
Hot and then
cold. Yes, it was a cold winter, especially through January and February that year.
I think the year of 35 was when the grasshoppers were so bad.
Yes, they were too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know my husband would get up at 4 o'clock every morning, go down and put the poison around just at the edge of the cotton. Where the cotton was out here, clear around the edge of it. And then when they'd come out, well, they would eat that before they would go to the cotton.
Did it seem to help job?
Yes, it did. That was the only way we raised cotton that year.
It was 36 when the grasshoppers got in place.
Was it?
Yeah, because Bester was just a baby.
It's the finest dust you ever drank.
I know.
Beds and your dressers and everything is just covered.
In the crop that they usually have.
Just like fine, like face powder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just terrible to try to clean up.
And you couldn't dust it off of yourself.
No.
It just being a whole dried out.
Hold on.
But we sure were glad to have it.
Yeah.
We all learned, didn't we? Learned how to get by the clock.
What we had. And hope for better.
Yeah.
But everybody was about the same at that
time. Well, yes.
Yeah. But nobody had nothing. Mm-hmm. We just all hard up.
What about other people who left? We know that she and her family went to California. What about, did you know other people in town that left?
Yeah. Well, they was people in the back.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people.
Lloyd and I lived on it one place 24 years. We rented it, but we never did leave. We stuck it out.
Stuck it out.
No, we didn't. We went to Enid for 2 years.
What did you do in Enid?
He had that mobile.
That was my husband.
That was in Enid. He ran that for dairy. It's what is... it was Weibel's dairy then, but then... What is the dairy? Goldspot bottom out.
Mm-hmm. It's a chair over here.
And he drove that one horse, and that horse would just stand while he delivered. And then he'd go back. And he sold ice cream and cottage cheese and milk and cream. And they'd load him up in the morning, and he'd stay all day over Enid to deliver.
Nobody had any electricity, so we didn't have refrigerators. I was glad when I could get ice.
When you did get electricity, what was the thing you were most excited to have? Was it a refrigerator or was it something else?
An ice maker?
We got
a
new
bathroom. A bathroom! That was the first thing we put in.
I was going to say, the first time we had an indoor bathroom was in 63.
We got an ice maker that held 100 pounds, and they'd bring 100. We'd get 100 pounds of ice and put in there.
In 63, with a million bags.
We got our first electricity in 1940.
We didn't have electricity either then.
Yes,
we just had ice makers.
We did too, I think. Because when we moved back to the farm.
Because when that old cream separator sat there and that milk just went on through, and we didn't have to turn that crank.
Oh, yes, we all separated. Milk cows
but
separated.
Just stood there. I can see it now. Just the milk running in that bucket. And the lights were the main thing.
When we got electricity, I guess that was probably the best time.
Yeah, when we got electricity, it was the main thing, the lights.
That happened.
And it was 51 when we got our electricity first time.
It was
in 63,
I think I got it in 49,
40.
Because my husband
was 42 when we got electricity.
Well, we didn't get it that early.
We
told
OG&E and tried, got on the lamb and then all that other and whatever it's called. And we told them whichever first one that come around was going to be done. And OG&E come first. It wasn't a few days. Here come the other. So it looks like we got electricity already. We sure was glad.
It was in the 40s when we got it out in the
country. What was that story you were telling, that your husband is helping set up the electricity and he's going door to door?
Well, we was trying to get the high line to go by our place, to go down the road. So him and the neighbor went all around trying to get people to sign up, and you had to pay $50. And some of our neighbors couldn't pay $50, so they paid their $50, and we got it to go right by our road. But he helped wire all the houses and everything to get it down to there. That was in 43.
They had to have a certain amount.
Yes, and they have a certain amount.
Before they would go in course of cooperation.
Luella, didn't Elmer wire for you?
I'm not
Opal
sure.
It
was Opal and Cully because we lived out there. But you know, that old man we rented from wouldn't put electric in.
You just lived on the hill.
So we lived without it till we got a chance to move where it was. So.
That was 51?
That was 51.
Is that the latest we have electricity coming in, 51?
No, I think it was about that time, about 52. We got ours in
42. You lived over on the farm. You surely got pretty close then.
We didn't move back to the farm until 49.
Quite a disparity there. You had 42 and 53.
And we was out there a little while. So he could have been in the early 40s.
Some people became more popular than others at that time.
Well, we live right in the corner of Dewey and Ellis County's on this side. Woodward County was on this side. And before they run ours down, we was one of the last ones, I think, in the county to get
when they came around to see who wanted the electricity. They run the line down where there was the most people on this mile. Yeah. And we had quite a time getting on because Schaefer's didn't want electricity and Hallmark's didn't want electricity. That was for town people. So we kind of had to wait. And they put electricity in the church. Mm-hmm. And Schaefer's didn't take it. So church in one other place, why, then we could get it. But at that time, we were living in a boxcar on our farm.
Really?
Our house had burnt in 1940.
You're getting some stories.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting a lot of good stories.
Well, after the dust storm, we moved over by Camp Creek. We moved there in January. And there had came a big snowstorm. This was the first snowstorm that came all over. Now, we had a big one in
38
that just stranded everything. Mm-hmm. But then when we moved, there was another snowstorm came. My husband went to get the cows in that morning, and I don't know what happened, but anyhow, he built a barn, the house burned. So we lost nearly everything there. But then they decided to move a boxcar in, and we could live in it till they could get a house. So that was what we did.
What was it like in this boxcar?
Well, it wasn't the best, but it wasn't the worst either.
No, the sun had the worst.
It wasn't the best. No,
everybody tried. Yeah. Nobody had much money. Everybody was
the same. I did.
Did you make Jell-O in your refrigerator when you got electricity?
As quick as we could. And I got this little powder stuff you make ice cream.
Yeah.
Stirred it up with stuff, and then I learned to make my own, and I got all kinds of compliments. I had a lot of separated cream.
That's what made it. Separated cream.
And I take the potato masher. I didn't have a mixture yet. Mm-hmm. It got just right. You beat it with that potato masher. Took it out, dumped it out. And it was really good. Piled it up. One of our friends come by, a young boy, and he said, "I'll never turn a ice cream freezer in."
We had the old kind you had to turn all the time. We was glad when we got electricity and got electrical.
Do you ever remember any tramps or hobos coming through town?
Oh, the first year I was married, we lived right across this. There was nothing between us and the railroad track. I fed many a hobos. I guess they say they tell who well, and I fed many of them breakfast or dinner or something. Yeah. I always let them sit out on my north step. And I'd cook them bacon and eggs. And
we always fed them, give them something to eat.
Do you ever have them do any work for you or anything?
Never did. But I had my mother had an uncle that was a hobo when I was a child. And he'd come to our house and stay, and I thought hobos were just fine because Uncle Jess was a hobo, you know. So I said them all.
We were afraid of them.
I wasn't afraid of them.
We were afraid of them.
They wouldn't, I've even asked them to come in the house. No. They would eat outside.
Do you ever remember any women that were hobos?
No, I don't have any women. That was the first few years I was married before we moved in. Before we moved
to the
farm.
I don't think the women was as daring as they are. Yeah.
No, but we had a lot of folks that followed the ride the railroad, you know, box cars and
walk all over.
And they'd get on
the cob pipe put in front of her shoulder.
Oh, well, I'm
not
for
you anyway.
No, I don't
want to
eat
it.
I don't remember.
It's pretty small.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she just opened her shirt button and stick it down in there. And of course, you know what an impression that made on a kid like me.
Right. And he's the first one I ever knew to get it, and he scooped it all out in a little pasteboard tray. But it was the first that I ever heard of, and he was really advertising his peanut butter, you know.
Oh, I remember the first time we got it.
You did?
Yes, I did. Anyway, we went to Mutual, and Mother bought one of these paper things like that, you know, like they put meat in. And she got that full, and she mixed up some for supper with syrup or sorghum or something, and that's what we had to eat. Well, after supper, she says, now, Garnetti, she called Garnetti, says, you stack the dishes up and I'll wash them. And I got in there and I found this other peanut butter. So I go in, peck her on, say, can I have some more peanut? Yeah, eat all you want. She thought I'd eat it with that syrup, you know. And I got me a spoon and I ate that blooming peanut butter, and about 2 o'clock sick. Oh, by those years, I couldn't stand the smell or look of peanut butter.
Well, most of the people that they could sample it at Granddad's there, you know. And my grandmother ran the post office, and we got our mail there then. And it stuck in the roof of their mouth.
Oh, yes.
And all that kind of stuff. And they just,
it was good.
It took a long time to set.
Just the last few years that I've been eating. I can't hardly eat.
I never heard of peanut butter being such a big treat before. That's a new story.
It was back then. All of those things were treats.
I remember when we got bananas on the stick.
Oh, yeah, your banana story.
Yes, and that's when they come out, you know, this free.
Yeah.
And we had all of our family. We always had Christmas where we had all the family and the grandkids and kids. That was my folks I'm talking about. And Mother bought a big stick of banana. That's what she got us all for Christmas. We hung them up and we'd just go take us a banana off of there. That's what we all got for Christmas.
Well, that was nice.
There's a lot of them. I got this little write-up. You've all heard it. All the things we used to do with that without, and what we do now.
Oh,
I've
heard
Lois Perry give readings.
Yeah.
It is something.
And Elsie Cunningham, she wrote a big deal about it.
About the good old days.
Said she didn't want it.
We got flour in a printed we made dresses.
Made dresses.
Out of that.
Yeah.
And I made my boys' shirts out of that.
Yes.
And they were just as proud of them. They'd go with their dad to town and pick the sacks that they wanted for a shirt.
And we made all of our clothes.
My sister made her little boy. Oh, them little soul sacks.
Yeah.
These underwear.
You're up careful to
that's what Ruth.
Used to come in a white sack.
Not even 10-pound sugar sack, a little salt sack.
You could take these
10-pound sugar sacks. Salt. Sometimes you could bleach the letters out. But if you didn't, they had to go ahead and wear them. They had to holly right on their back end or whatever they had. They had to wear their little shorts made out of 10-pound sugar sacks.
I made a quilt. When I lived in it, the first year I was at Enid, I made a quilt out of Bull Durham.
Oh,
tobacco sacks.
My mother did that.
And sugar sacks. I dyed the tobacco sacks.
My mother did that.
And made a thing. And the back was white feed sacks.
Yeah.
I still have that quilt. It's about wore out, but I still have it.
Wow.
That'd be a durable item to have.
Yeah.
And I remember the last feed. Chicken feed sacks that I got. I got three, and it was blue and white striped. And the stripes is about like that. And I just love that dress.
We'd watch real careful when we bought chicken feet so we could get 3 sacks to match so we could have that dress. Yeah. Yeah.
She took 5 out of 5. Well, and when the curtains.
I remember my first.
When the curtains.
My dress shoes. But I had a dress for Easter made out of a flower sack. And I took the fresh tomatoes we raised out of the garden. We sold them to Ray's Grocery.
Yeah.
And I took them, we took them and my tomatoes and sweet potatoes and everything up there to Ray's Grocery to buy me some new shoes and a hat for Easter. And I had my dresses made out of
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mary, it wasn't just a grocery store; it was general merchandise.
They had
then.
Wear
just raised.
They
years.
Didn't have anything like dresses.
Yeah, but when you got that stuff all starched up and
oh, wow.
Those shirts, and I found a place I could.
Well, then on top of that, you take your silk stockings and dye them and make your corsage.
Lord, we like to never had hose, silk hose. I remember Enid got the first silk hose that I ever heard of. Had a sister-in-law down there, and I saved up some money, and it was expensive, and I gave them to her, and I said, now, next time I get some in, you get me some. And I never did get any. The first time I wore some at church, I got my first, and I wore them to church, and somebody didn't think I had no hose on. And they kind of got after me, and I said, boy, I got these new hose. I said, like they wear now. I said, they're getting them on so you can buy them. And I had to pull them out to shore. You know? Yeah. That was her mother.
Well, mother had them old cotton hose. We'd say,
well, that's all we ever had.
She'd say, now them little old them things, they can't be a bit of warmth in them. We'll get them hose
now
on.
My ankle was pretty warm when I got to school. We all wore them, but that's
yeah.
I need to go to the nursing home. I have to go up to the nursing home too, but I ain't through yet.
I had a daughter 62 years old in the nursing home, never walked in her life.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Is her birthday today, Luella?
Her birthday is July the 23rd. She was born in 38.
Well, I knew that.
When she was a tiny baby, she was a preemie and just weighed 3 pounds. So when other babies her age of a few months old began to do things, she couldn't do anything. She couldn't hardly hold her head or do anything. So we knew something was wrong, even though she just weighed 3 pounds. We thought maybe it was something natural, but took her to old Doc Lloyd at Tologa, and he said, this baby's got spastic paralysis. She'll never walk in her life. And she never did. But he said, you're very fortunate that it didn't affect her brain, because a lot of them it does. Mm-hmm. And then she would be a vegetable. She couldn't do nothing or talk or walk or nothing. But we took her to Children's Hospital, and then I forget how long they kept her. And they sent us to a place where they do therapy in Norman, and they thought they could teach her to walk. And they put braces on her, and they kept her 3 years, and they gave up. She couldn't use those little legs. And that's where she learned to crochet. She was 10 years old. And she crochets now some of the most beautiful afghans that you ever saw. That that was a terrible experience. And so this Dr. George at Norman, then after they kept her about 3 years, he said, we're going to send you to have her to go to Okmulgee, to the rehabilitation center. Said, down there, they can... Even though she's in a wheelchair, she can learn to be a secretary or a telephone operator or something like that. So we took her to Okmulgee, and she was there, I think, only about 6 months. And they called us, and they said she just can't do any of that because she had a jerkiness, you know. And she didn't know when she was going to jerk or anything. And she don't have that so bad now, but she did then, and they couldn't teach her to make a living for herself is what they're trying to do. But
she's 1 month younger than Dean.
She'll be 63 in July.
Yeah.
And she's a very wonderful little girl.
Yeah.
Still.
Oh, yeah,
she's
beautiful. Beautiful. I wish I had a picture of her.
Yeah.
She always knows me, and if I go visit, you know, she waits.
She remembers everybody.
My oldest son is 73, and he was 3 years old, and boy, a lively little boy, and was in the drugstore that I saw one day, and he danced around with the music they had in there, you know, and was really a live wire little guy. We took him home that night. It was on Saturday. He had a high fever, and next day he had a high fever. We took him to two different doctors, and either one of them didn't know what was wrong. They thought maybe something about his stomach, and give him some pills. And so Monday morning, we decided to take him down here to this old Dr. Lloyd at Tologa. And Dr. Lloyd said, well, we had given him a bath, and we were getting around to go to Tologa. And my husband said, well, now, Hilbert, you want to go out and use the bathroom before we go? He says, okay, Daddy, but you'll have to come with me. I can't walk on that one leg. And that scared us to death. But we went on down there, and he had polio. They call it infantile paralysis then. And he's 73, though, and he has a fine wife and family. And
has a limp, but he just makes it fine.
He limps, always has, but he's, oh, he's made a wonderful life for his wife and family. And I'm real proud of my family. I only had 11. But three died in infancy. I don't stumble on that. I got to go to the nursing home see my daughter.
Thank you for visiting with us.
Okay, you're welcome.
Your grandfather had a store in Cestus? Is that what you said?
Yes. The post office was in one park, and the store in the other park. And they just sold all the food juice, stuff like you eat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I got to go there, and it's the first time in my life I had all the candy I wanted. Just for my first year of school, they let me go stay a week, Mom did. And I got all the candy I wanted.
What was your favorite candy there? Do you remember having a favorite?
Oh, it's always been chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hard to beat.
Well, we didn't have much candy, I mean, to buy. We didn't.
Have
the money,
nearly,
maybe. We used to make taffy, you know.
Yeah.
That's what they call it. You pull, you know.
Clothesline taffy.
And we had our own apples.
Yeah.
But, you know, for Christmas or something.
There's not much incest
anymore.
Good
to get a little dab of candy.
Yeah.
No.
Well, we've driven through it about 20 times.
Fairly good
size
of town.
We learned how to make candy. Finally got recipes to make candy.
West Texas. Yeah. We got a mail at post office, and quite a lot of people besides, I don't know, several stores. We didn't go over there very much, but I asked, all of you knew Mrs. McClary Mabel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I asked her one day, well, where did it begin? Where did it end? She said, a lot of it's right back there where Cully and Opal Cathy live. You all know where that was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't ask her more.
Yeah. Did it burn down? Did the town burn?
No, people just moved to. They moved most of the town to Bisac.
Oh,
the city. When they brought the railroad in, it was supposed to come out there.
But it didn't.
And Lenora and Tologa. But it came to Bisac and then to Camargo. So they even had some of the, from Woodward down a ways, they even had some of the. Well,
the grade.
Yeah. They had some of the graded up to do it when they decided to go to Southern.
And then Cestus moved to here, basically.
Yes, basically. The bank and all
the bank
of the
was
big
business. The bank at that time.
Yeah, and they moved to Bisac.
They came to Bisac.
He drove through Camargo before he came here, and we were surprised to see how big it was.
Right.
But I guess the railroad went
through
there.
Camargo.
And that's what gave it.
And it used, it's always been just a constant town. They used to have cotton gin, too.
We saw they have a motel or a building that was a motel. Kind of surprised.
Yeah, the Black Hawk Motel.
Yeah.
they used to have two. They had one
on
the west side of the street that was a two-story.
Yeah,
and then Mrs. Riesdorf's was on the east side. The other one was on the west side, and they were pretty busy.
Yeah, it's a nice size town.
To have a show down there about where the flower shop is, and we could go to send the kids to the show for a quarter. We always let the kids go.
They had a lumber yard then, just across the street there from the one hotel. And then down the street south, there was the Long Bell Lumber.
Mm-hmm. There used to be two big grocery stores there. We used to trade there, too.
I didn't remember no lumber.
I lived halfway between Vyshai and Camargo, so I lived both places when I was a child.
Mr. Nixon.
You know how often we went to town in a demon wagon, don't you?
Ernest Nixon. And when...
Perry.
When the Camargo girls first started playing ball, they played...
We always had to take turns.
In this Longbella lumber, that was where...
The gym. Their only gym.
They had their gym there in the runway because it was all cemented. And it wasn't quite as wide as a ordinary court would have been. But they used that for a number of years till they got the new schoolhouse.
I don't remember coming to town in a wagon. Yeah. My dad bought a car when I was 2 years old, and I don't remember coming to town in a wagon.
I went my 12 years of school there.
Camargo, when did that school close?
Well, let me see. The year Butch graduated 2 years out of it, and now, let's see, he was born in 50. Somebody figured out.
He graduated from Camargo?
No, he graduated at Vyshai.
Oh, but 2 years.
He graduated out of 8th grade at Camargo.
They just had the first 8th grade there for a while.
We didn't have no transportation into Vyshai, the high school, in those days. You had to either board in town or don't go.
We got our first new car when I was 13, I know. You didn't have to have a license or nothing.
I drove
my folks to Arkansas to see my grandma when I was 13. With the old dirt roads, you know.
My dad bought a car since. When I was 2, so I don't remember coming to town in a wagon.
When they get me to get my driver's license, I had to get my driver's license.
So you couldn't go to high school unless you stayed in town.
No, there wasn't no buses or nothing running through the country.
I went 1 year
days.
Here, and I come up and lived in Vyshai with my aunt.
Huh, it's almost like going to colleges now. Or something.
It wasn't.
Ethel went to college. And, she got her. She went 1 year to high school here at Vyshai, my older sister. And then she went to Alva and got her teaching certificate, and she was a teacher.
Well, I remember my sister-in-law, she taught school. Claude's
wife, Bernie. I remember them days.
My brother. I had two brother-in-laws that did that, too.
Well, they just getting you can't read it, can you?
They didn't finish high school completely.
It's about the Walsh days.
Got their teacher. So
it's up to the old Walsh days.
Yeah.
What is that? I thought it was in the paper.
That's what was in the newspaper. No. It was in Capper's Weekly.
It
was in Capper's Weekly, and I remember a lot of that. No, that's it. I wanted them to read it, and I remember a lot of that. I experienced a lot of that when I was a child.
Yeah, I shaved with homemade soap. That's what we've done.
No.
Oh, no, we're just making sure everything's still going.
I remember coming to town when we had to sell a bunch of pigs, bring up buses.
I want my grandkids to read that.
The sideboards on top of the ordinary wagon, leave a little crack between them so the pigs wouldn't suffer. And then she set a spring seat way up on top of both of those sideboards up beside the wagon. And I was taking some music lessons that I just took 12 because that's all my grandma gave me that much money. Anyway, I got to come to town, and I rode my dad up on that one time on top of them sideboards.
And the spring seat.
In a spring seat. The spring seat set up farther. But just two horses. But sometimes they drove four horses if they took a load of wheat down in a wagon. They'd take sometimes four horses. But I rode several times.
And don't leave out broom corn. We all
you
kind of
remember that, too, don't you?
Boiling old clothes is always my job.
Yeah, I want these youngsters to read it. I'm saving this for my grandchildren.
So the clothes are boiling.
I remember that when I was a little girl, part of it.
What about your broom corn stories?
Did you ever get around broom corn?
Did you ever pull any broom corn?
Yeah. Or haul it in. I had to help my dad haul it in. And I'm telling you, that was... Yeah. That was the itchiest stuff here between two stalks to keep the brush part of it from getting in the dirt. And then after it laid there so long, you hauled it in. And that was what I helped do, was haul it in.
A lot of women close
them. Oh, yeah.
But boy, it didn't make you itch and burn when you picked it up.
I think we need to have you read that on our tape. Did you see this?
I got that out, Capper's Weekly. It just reminded me of the old days on the farm. Mom.
Worst on the board. Boiled her clothes on the stove.
I wasn't very old, though, till Mama got one of them swinging washing machines. And oh, how I hated them things.
Swinging washing machine.
We put
what is that?
Yes, we do. It's a half circle and like had a bar up there, and you put your clothes in and your sons, and you just this way and this way and this way and this way. But you did it by hand. And I was old enough, I had to do it.
Oh, I was thankful to get one of them. I didn't have one with my daughter.
I no, you did that, board. I know.
But when Roger came along, we got one of those, and my husband would...
Yeah. We was really thrilled when yeah.
It was just a half yeah. circle. Huh.
Yes,
when we had our 80th
woman that had that
celebration here, we had one on display.
Oh, yeah.
But I wasn't too old when Mother got a Maytag that had a motor on. But you know, sometimes it took hours to get that thing started.
Yes, right. Oh, if you flooded right. It, crank it and crank it. I can tell you, dozens of women has called over. Come start my Maytag. Come start my washing machine. It won't go. It's awful easy to flood. You missed your oil. You missed yourself.
Well, that's true, but the outdoor
passed. But then didn't take long to wash after you got inside.
If you ever got the thing going.
And she gave me a quarter.
Real well when Granddad Ma seen me washing on the board and he said, come on down to the house and wash on that Maytag. He didn't call for it.
I didn't want to date quit that washing up here. I took the job for this. She said, yes, you go and take it or she won't think she wants to ask you if she can't pay you. But, man, I did a lot of work going in when these newborn babies, daughter day.
I worked for $5 a week.
Took care of the mother, stayed 9 days back then. The mother stayed around
that. And I got 75 cents.
Took care of the baby, the mother. I don't know how the room did it.
And I guess
last time. All it comes is winter, February. And the clothes would even freeze and had all them little girls with all their socks.
And little panties and all of this.
Ollie always fixed my wash water and all that. Kind of carry out.
What kind of home remedies did you use? Like if your kid had a stomach ache or an ear infection, what kind of things would you do?
Oh, we had...
if you had the earache, your dad smoked in your ear.
Smoked in your ear. Yeah. And I can remember one time I had the croup, and I had just... They tried to... Oh, I don't know how many things tried, and I finally... They gave me some kerosene and sugar.
Kerosene
and that cut that loose. I thought I was going to die. I was big enough. I meant before, you know. I was glad to swallow anything, tried to get that up there. You know, you choke when you have it.
Well, my mother would render the lard out of the skunks that the boys caught in skin. And she would render that out, and then she would mix it with, I don't remember whether it was turpentine or what, but anyhow.
I think turpentine.
That's what they rubbed on your chest when you had a cold and up here. Mm-hmm. But Mother swore by that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then if we stepped on a nail, of course we went barefooted in the summer and stepped on a nail, then it was to the kerosene can that we went.
Yeah.
And that will do it. Some people say that's dangerous, but that will really keep you from getting infection. And I've stepped on the nail many a nail.
Sick stomach, take some soda, you know, and mix it up or make you drink that.
Kerosene would take the infection or clean out the wound. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
and you wouldn't get rid of the
soreness.
You didn't put anything on the state stone. I have found out, you know, it stays a lot longer. It helped take the soreness down.
I've heard kerosene's good for something else. I heard kerosene's really good to get rid of bed bugs.
That's
Yeah.
We never had them, but my grandma, one lady, an old wet boy.
I never did see a bed bug in my life.
And she fought them all the time.
Never did.
We bought a baby bed. Most down toward Margo sometimes. One time. And got home and had a red bug. And we got started.
I was going to say, why did we get on that? Much to get on
him. We
got a dose and we bought something, I don't remember what, but it was while we were living in the boxcar, and of course most of our furniture had burned. Why, we went to this sale, and my goodness, I thought we never was going to get rid of them. Every morning I would strip those beds down and go over them with a kerosene.
Yeah, rug, set them kerosene.
Rag. And you'd go over the, well, a lot of them, maybe, yeah, maybe a lot of them was, did you ever sleep on a tick?
Straw tick.
Straw tick.
That's what we had.
Heard
about
them. We'd make this tick. We'd make this tick, you know, leave us.
It's like a big old pillow slip.
Yes, great big. And when they thrashed, well, we'd get the...
The best of that. We didn't get the chaffy part, but we got the best of it. And that's what we slept on.
That's kind of bad, so they didn't have that.
And we changed about every year when they would...
Wash up the
table. I slept on feather beds. That's what we had.
My mother would go into the old straw tick and go out and let's have some new fresh straw and fill it in. And our bed would be that high that night. Just crash it down right there. It's not like that.
Oh, no. I don't know.
But
we had 31. We had mattresses.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
We didn't know that was no different.
No.
Everybody was alike. Yeah.
That's right.
They'd make a mess.
Whatever.
Well, it was available to make a mess. But my folks, my mother always raised lots and lots of chickens, and so we had feather beds, and I hated those old feather beds.
Oh, man.
They were warm, but I hated them, to make the bed.
I picked them old ducks and made feather bed.
I picked them and
turned
I think
mother's
the only
had a feather bed. The rest of us had straw picks.
I think so, too. Well, I mean, afterwards, we had them straw picks.
Yeah. Like their wings and their tail.
Yeah.
You just picked all the nice soft ones and throwed them in the box.
Or tell them about picking the old goose.
That's what I was thinking about.
And we saved that, but we never used the chicken feathers, but I learned to later.
Yeah.
I made pillows out of chicken feathers. We never did.
No, we used.
Now, goose feathers was the best.
Best, yes, goose down.
This was bigger, too.
We'd take ours and hang them up by their feet up in the barn and put a sock over their head because if you didn't, they would just
pinch you.
Well, they'd pinch you to pieces.
And
you would pick these little feathers off under the wings to...
Down,
the back,
like
down,
down.
The breast, and made our pillows out of that, and if got enough, we would start a...
There was still a lot of down left on their breast, so they didn't go out.
Yeah, they left on. We picked them in the wintertime.
Every
6 weeks, I think we were supposed to.
Yeah, Mother made all of us so down pillows. I still have a feather pillow. I've got three. I've got two. I am too, but I've still got some others. I don't handle them.
I just got rid of my feather bed. It was a big, nice one. But I was tired of it. And my grandfather didn't help. I have three grandsons who grew up right down the road from me. They never would sleep on the feather bed. I thought it was a shame they should sleep one night. I'd sleep on a feather bed.
Yeah.
They kind of allergic. Olive Hauser taught me to say my
children. I didn't like him. I always ripped up.
We did for a while, and then after we got the geese, it was.
Pillows made.
But they were such mean things to do anything with.
They'd get after you and you're out in the yard.
Yes.
Run you and peck you on the legs.
He'd go after you.
So you'd hang them upside down and pull their feathers out, and then they were mean to you.
They would bite you in the ribs.
Put their head under your arm. That's a get you right.
Yeah, or put a light sock over their head.
And blame them when they pull their feathers off.
That's right.
Then I believe the biggest of all changes in something has been in our lifetime. We went from the horse and buggy. I haven't loved all these things. But we've gone from horse and buggy to the sky for space travel. For travel. We went to space from hot horse and buggy to space.
It's a pretty big change.
Big change.
Horseback. We went horseback a lot.
Yeah, we girls didn't have a saddle. Papa made us a cinch, went around the blanket. We didn't have no stirrups. We rode double.
Well, we used to go to church every night.
Horse and
And most of us, if we had a boyfriend or girlfriend, we would ride too.
We used to go riding on Sunday afternoons after church. Just a bunch of neighborhood kids all get together and ride horses.
In the fall, we went over to the persimmon patch over this way. Yeah. I don't know where now. We got on our horses and went to the persimmons. They have about this big round, at least three or four seeds in them.
They're good.
After they freeze.
After they freeze. Otherwise,
the fuckery.
We did things. We entertained ourselves. With sleigh riding, we did.
Yeah.
We did, too. One time out north of our house, we had a tractor, and I don't know how many of the kids' sleds we had, and the last one got a scoop shovel.
Yeah.
Yes.
One time I rode down the creek bank.
Well, this Christmas, I went out to Joe Krause's for Christmas, and he took his grandkids with his little mower.
Well, it really was more.
They sled it all afternoon because it was snow on the ground, you know.
Now, this winter at our place, my married grandson just married, took two or three else's of his cousins with a little saddle horse. Larry rode, tied it on the sled, and it was terraces there, and that old sled and everybody was laughing and hollering.
Did you see the Dennis Menace in the paper today?
No.
He said, there he was. He had this dog, and he had a box here in front of the dog, and the dog was tied onto this little old four-wheel cart back there, and this little friend of his was sitting in there. And he said, what is his name, Joey? Joey, now hold on, because I'm turning the cat loose. And he had the dog fastened to the wagon.
And the dog took after the cat, and the boy got a ride.
Well, how would you say that each of you have been changed by your experience of living through the Dust Bowl? What about that has made the most lasting impact?
One thing we never want to happen again. And I think for me, a great big thankfulness. A lot of thanks.
We were just glad when they got over that.
But we had it awfully bad here in the 50s. But that time, in the 50s, when it was so dry and all, most of our dirt came from Texas. But you could see it. It was kind of like the Dust Bowl again.
You could see it coming.
You could see it coming.
Anyway,
and it was terribly dry and along in the 50s.
After, I guess a year after it let up here, we went to Colorado and went west, and it was much worse out.
I hadn't
seen anything like it. The post, there was post with that much sticking out of the ground.
Yeah.
There was tanks with it almost up to the tank, a stock tank, over the water tank. And many and many and many old houses, just nothing there, nobody was there, and they're just nailed up, dilapidated.
That was when we went through that.
That
was much worse.
One night when we was coming back, a storm come up, and I guess there was a plowed wheat field just on that side of the wind. My landing was just terrible, and I was scared to death, and mine would never stop. All of a sudden, this looked like one big old wide fire across the road, just thick. And what it was meeting cars, and the dirt was between us, and we finally both stopped and just sat there. And I had never seen that anything like that. There was not a blaze, just that big reddish, fiery look across the road.
Like it was
the reflection, the
dirt another caused that.
The dirt between the lights.
You still buy our windows like that.
It sure was frightening. I never did like that country. I never did. I never want to go back in my sister.
That's where trip, I think, was placed to Mexico when I was a kid. We thought we had it bad.
Oh,
we
were. That's what they did out there.
Well, grown-ups died with pneumonia out there, too. Anyway, my sister lives there and thinks it's a wonderful place. And it sure has changed. They set trees.
Yes.
They learned about conservation.
Conservation.
Got into that, and that has been a wonderful thing for us. The government got in and helped the farmers. None of them had the money to have the equipment or anything else to run it with.
But we've got the terraces and the ponds, which, and set lots of tree rows, you know, between the places to stop. Out west, there wasn't none. Out there around Diamond, it's flat. No. We got the
flat no trees.
Oh. Oh, my. It was just nothing, you know. It was not a live tree. Nothing.
Nothing happened through that country. Yeah. Now the grass has come back, yeah, but then during the Depression and the bad years, there was nothing.
If you talk to people in Guymon, they say, "Oh, that Boise City, they had it bad."
Yeah,
we have it okay.
Yes, and Colorado says they had it worse.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But that's where during the Dust Bowl, that's where a lot of our land came.
Dirt came from. Gray, whitish.
Came out of Colorado and Kansas, but mostly Colorado came in from the northwest.
Oh, it's terrible, scary.
Do you remember any WPA programs coming into Vice?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, what kind of programs and what was that like?
Let's see, what did they build?
They built cement bridges. Mm-hmm. And they built some of them. They're still standing. Yes, they never did put the road around them. They're still standing. But we had a little country schoolhouse there that the WPA came in, and I've put new siding all over the school building and put a swing up, and they did quite a lot of stuff around there. And when they did it, it was done to stay. Uh-huh. And that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And now with all the technique we got, it isn't that permanent.
They built the townhouse, what do
we call it? The
city hall? Yeah, I think so. I think they helped build the first streets, too. And they helped us.
And they
our streets and things.
It was all the WPA. Come right into my house. The road was right back there, and it was nothing but solid gyp rock, and they just had to blast it and blast it. So they'd call and say, "Mrs., we're going to blast. Now you get your children all in, because that gyp rock would just fly all over everywhere around." They just time again tell me, "I call your children in, because we're going to blast again today."
They did a lot of good.
And it's a good road.
Yes, they did.
They got it all out, and but it was solid rock. Also, rock when they started into
what was it they had for the younger ones that could...
I don't know.
You know...
CCC.
Yeah. You know, they...
Something camp.
Yeah.
The young men could...
Mm-hmm. I don't know that they were down there so much, but they did...
Something did Boiling Springs.
Yeah, Boiling Springs.
That was the CCC, I think. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they come back, I guess, each year for their reunion, the ones that worked on it.
Did you have friends or relatives that worked for WPA programs, husbands, sons, dads?
Yeah. And I know when I was a senior in high school, we went always went down to Lost Lake, down in southeast of us, down there in the edge of the mountains. And there was quite a CC camp there that was working on that, making... Where they had.
I ask about WPA stuff, and I ask about.
With any of our relations.
Yeah.
I can't remember mine.
I don't know that mine did. But I know I went down there in my senior year, and those guys were working down there. And of course, of an evening, we all went to a lake. I can't think of the name of it now, but we all went there and skated. They had a big skating rink. And believe you me, that's how we learned to skate. Those guys were good. And they wasn't very much older than we were. They were.
Was that roller skates?
No. Yeah. No, it was older roller skates. Uh-huh.
I don't see how they go.
Yes, that's one entertainment that we used to have when the kids were little. Here was a roller skate ring, skating rinks. Mm-hmm. We'd load up a bunch of kids and take them
when we went to school, we had to go, you know, to play basketball.
Yeah.
And then on weekends, well, we Friday afternoon, we'd go over to that next Cyble schoolhouse and have a game, play basketball against each other, or go to Rich, you know. And we'd have box suppers. Take a box, you know.
We haven't had any since we haven't had our country schools, but we always had box suppers, and the most loved girl or the most beautiful girl, and
some boy that wanted to buy their box, boy, they'd raise it all, you know, and they'd have to be big old pie. We'd have fried chicken, fix their stuff all in the beach.
And they
It's for special things, for school. I like pay things on the playground.
Yeah.
Nobody ever the most beautiful girl. Nobody ever chose me.
Oh, I got to be freshman queen the first year I started by side school. I mean, I got to be high school queen. I was a freshman girl. Really?
Church on Sunday night.
Well, it was at Stone
in Ellis County. And we rode horses. There would be a few cars there of the parents, but the kids all rode horses there. And the WPA had did a lot of work on that schoolhouse and schoolyard, too.
Mm-hmm. In Ellis County, you said? That,
mm-hmm. In Ellis County. Mm-hmm.
It's just unbelievable. As we think back how we got along. We made our own entertainment and everything. The men in our neighborhood got a baseball game thing made up out in our pasture, and the neighbors would come in and play. The married men play baseball. They fixed up a backstop out there. Stayed in the pasture till about 4 years ago.
Fix a horseshoe thing, and they'd play horseshoe.
Yeah, short horseshoes. Together on a Sunday afternoon, and that's what they do a lot of the time. All that kind of stuff. We talked to one another back then. We visited a lot. And now we didn't have no television, no radio.
No, no telephone.
Not even phonograph. You know, we didn't have any.
Well, we had
family sat down at the table and they visited and talked.
You know. Yeah. Yes.
But we didn't.
The families all on the same line.
Yeah.
They just
hear it ring while you listen. Mm-hmm.
Mine don't very often do it. They still sit. Come in and sit down at the table. But I know my kids, you know, somebody's working a little later.
Yeah, they just eat and run.
We didn't have much to play with.
We had to make
swings and an old tar. Maybe we'd roll it. I got so I'd have a big old barrel, you know, these are kind of barrels, and I could walk in, rather roll and walk in, and play hide and seek, and that's just about all. When you get together, you didn't have
did you walk on stilts?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Did you learn to walk on stilts?
No, I didn't like
yes,
that.
Yes, I did.
I did, too.
I had a big old swing, though, and just one rope, and the rope was about like that, and I'd put a barrel out here. And I'd way out here, and I'd get a hold of that one hand, and I'd go plumb around and go land back on that barrel. Just things like that. That's all we ever had to do with. We didn't have nothing to play with. I remember my first doll buggy, Miss Espy got it for me. At school, she taught school.
Oh, she taught your school for us?
Over at Pleasant Valley.
Where is Pleasant Valley?
It's straight north of Donald Moss's.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know. She taught our school down there.
She'd ride a horse and come to school on that horse.
Who was that guy at Bernie? No.
Huh?
Who was it? Neva Espy.
My brother made
she lived along the highway down there. Oh, that's where she lived.
She
got me my first doll, nice doll, doll buggy. And I kept that after she married. I put Rosalie, I mean Geraldine in it. I kept it nice. She never had no girls. She always
was
me. Yeah. I can walk
stilts.
Oh, it was pretty good times, we thought, I guess. Enjoyed one another.
Yeah.
Do anything I left out?
Hide the thimble.